another app for inventory, one for CRM. Oh, don't forget accounting. Wait, which login was that?
Or you could use Odoo, one fully integrated system that does it all without the hassle. Ditch the app overload. Get everything your business needs on one platform. Try Odoo free today at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This is for you just a little bit today. St. Louis Connection and Michael McDonald, right? Sweet Freedom.
Heck yeah.
I like that song. Hey, did you know that, and I can't believe that she didn't stop in on us. Do you know Simone Biles is basically right across the street, or she was earlier doing the Wash U commencement speech?
No, I didn't know that. And I had read that she was going to be that. And I thought, isn't that nice? But I didn't retain the day or the time.
That would be a speech that I would love to hear. I really would.
You knew it would be motivating.
Absolutely.
Right, well, her husband's from here, yes?
Well, that's...
Is that the
true?
Whole thing?
Is that
I
the hook
so.
There?
He's got a connection here.
Oh.
All right, hang on. I'll go find that out. Simone Biles' husband.
Yeah, I thought that maybe I'm confused about her husband. Her husband's the Chicago Bears player,
Jonathan
right?
Owens.
Yeah, did he have a St. Louis connection? Mm-hmm. I should know this. I just don't know it.
Hold on. Missouri Western Griffins. He played college football for the Missouri Western Griffins.
Okay, so a little Missouri connection.
There you go.
Interesting. Well, this is, you are a fan of some of the Maha. Wait, what were you going to say?
He went to CBC.
Oh, did he really?
Yes.
How did I not, I feel really stupid for not knowing that.
That's all right.
RFK Jr., you're a fan, right?
Yes.
This is shocking. Listen to this.
During the Biden administration, HHS became a collaborator in child trafficking and for sex and for slavery. And we have ended that, and we're very aggressively going out and trying to find these children, 300,000 children that were lost by the Biden administration.
So that sounds kind of nutty, kooky,
whoa,
wacky, except it's true. Hey. And Chris Klemm, former Yuma Sector Border Patrol chief, who just completed a 100-day commitment to serve as a special advisor to RFK Jr. at HHS, is back with us this afternoon. Chris, first of all, welcome back. We have missed you tremendously. How are you?
Mark, it was great to be on the show. I am so happy to have been part of something historic with Trump's first 100 days and working there with Secretary Kennedy. My whole team up there was wonderful. I know a couple of them are listening right now. I think Mia is listening right now. It's just really, really powerful when you have a cabinet secretary tell the president and the entire press corps that was there what happened and what we've done to fix it. And so, yeah, it was a great opportunity. I'm great to be back home with my family. But yeah, this is something special going on with this administration to right the wrongs of the past 4 years.
Well, let's address that specifically, what he just said, because quite candidly, I think most people just heard that for the first time and they're not familiar with this. This is not a story, as you know, that the legacy media is really following up on. But you're one of the people that sort of investigated all of this, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, this was something I've dealt with for nearly 30 years now, I guess going on 30 years, I've been in this space. But as chief, we had to deal with unaccompanied children. And the process for all your listeners is anytime an unaccompanied child, which is anybody 17 or younger, that's not with their parent or legal guardian, they get placed by law, placed in the custody of Health and Human Services Office of Refugee Resettlement. The problem is under the Biden administration, the first 120 days that a child came across the United States, they were released without the proper immigration charging documents. And so what that meant was the sponsors, whether they were supposedly parents or other adults, would apply to be their sponsors. We didn't have a system in place, or it was taken away, it was disrupted because of poor policies, that these kids were oftentimes placed with people that submitted fraudulent information, or we couldn't verify that their photo, the photo evidence or the driver's license or whatever was verifiable, and we released them anyway. And there was close to 300,000 that never got served the proper paperwork that were basically unaccounted for. And just to fact checked all that, under the 4 years of the Biden administration, 479,000 unaccompanied alien children entered the United States. I mean, that's incredible.
It is incredible. But, you know, if I think that RFK Jr., when he said the soundbite that I just played, was that like the middle of last week, Chris?
Yeah, that was last Wednesday. That, yeah. I think that was the 100th day when they were having a cabinet meeting there at the White House.
So I Google this right now, Sue. There's nothing except nothing. For this. RFK Jr. pushes conspiracy HHS forced kids into slavery. So they basically are saying that you're making all this up, Chris.
Yeah, they're spinning it. Well, here's the deal. When you don't know who the sponsor is because you didn't require certain elements to be vetted, you didn't check on their immigration status. There's plenty of evidence that's going to come out. We've done all the research, or we're continue to investigate, that shows, you know, photograph and digital manipulated evidence that, or pictures that says, yeah, this is me and this child and its mother. And it's a Photoshop job that I could have done better.
Wow.
And we're releasing them. We weren't running criminal checks. We weren't doing fingerprints. They ended biometric and DNA testing. So we have no idea, really, where a lot of these kids were going to. We just based it off of whatever they submitted. We were the HHS was completing the cycle, the smuggling and trafficking cycle, by putting them into a majority of these kids into unvetted or unknown sponsorship. And so that is those practices. I can tell you with confidence, we have ended that. And anybody, whether you're an employee or a sponsor or somewhere in between, if you're knowingly, willingly, fraudulently, you know, exploiting the system, these kids and our government, we're coming after you. You know, and the Department of Justice is involved, DHS is involved. We're working collectively to make sure we can find that. We may not find every one of them, but the ones we are going to find, we're going to protect. We're going to make sure that they're taken care of, that their immigration system or the system is put back in place properly. And if they get a right to stay here, great. If they're not, we will move them to their country with their family or whoever their, you know, next of kin is.
Well, here's why I think the numbers are interesting. I mean, that sounds like a lot of people, right? 400,000.
Yes. 300,
but let's think about the millions and millions of people who streamed across this border, Chris Klemm. You've highlighted it so many times on this show and on Fox. And then, of course, miraculously, you know, you and I haven't caught up about this. Miraculously, the border is shut down. How did that happen? Because I thought it was only because of Donald Trump not signing on to the bill and giving his green light last year. The Democrats told us it's not possible for Joe Biden to close the border, Chris. I'm very confused.
Yeah. Isn't that great? All it took was it didn't take a legislative fix. It took a presidential fix, somebody to go back in there and finish what they started. You know, go back to December 23, when the polls just sank Biden-Harris under border security immigration. We were averaging over 10,000 illegal entries a day. Now we're averaging about 250. April of 2021, the Office of Refugee Resettlement placed over 18,000 unaccompanied children into various sponsors in 1 month alone. So now we're averaging about, you know, 5 to 10 unaccompanied children coming across the border. And that average is because some days they'll be, you know, in the high teens, but then there'll be days with just one or two unaccompanied children coming across. So we're slowly and drastically seeing that those numbers drop, because we were averaging 330 to 350 kids a day at one point. I mean, this is what President Trump meant when he said, we're going to secure the border. Then he said, number two, going after those gangs and the public safety and national security threats. And then number three, the one I was part of the last 100 days, was, you know, finding these kids and slowing that or fixing that process, so we never have this atrocity, you know, impact America again.
Well, and then you have, let's kind of bring it to the moment of the day, where you have this ICE detention facility in Newark, New Jersey, and you have members of Congress, Democrat members of Congress, and the mayor of this town in New Jersey that are arrested outside of this facility because they're clashing with the people that are trying to run the ICE facility. There's pushing, there's shoving. Here's the Newark mayor.
We don't know what's going on in there. We don't know who's in there. They don't allow inspections. They're not doing, they're not complying with the local laws. They don't have a certificate of occupancy in our argument. And we were in court arguing these matters. We usually solve those problems in America through the court of law. They don't want to use the court. They want to use a decree. They believe that whether we have a kingdom here or not. a democracy, and that's the problem.
Yeah, once again, Chris, we have members of Congress and American lawmakers who are supposed to put American citizens first. They're not doing that. But I want you to address the issue of the ICE detention centers, because these things are played off like they're just, you know, a bunch of starving people in there and there's nothing clean. They're pretty nice facilities, aren't they?
Those are the highest standards of detention that we have in our nation. I can tell you why, because a lot of the state and locals and counties oftentimes cannot detain federal prisoners because they don't have the same level of standard and level of care that are required by immigration and customs enforcement removal operations. So to sit there and listen to whoever that was in that soundbite acting like we don't know who's in there, what's going on there, those people are treated very, very well. I guarantee you they're treated a lot better than the survivors of that Hurricane Helene in North Carolina.
Absolutely.
The way the Democrats ran that. Look, this is just virtual signaling. They do this all the time because they cannot give President Trump and his administration a win on anything. And this is, I am so glad that somebody was put in handcuffs. You assault a federal officer, I don't care who you are, what you think you're supposed to be doing, what your audience and followers want you to do, you put your hand on a law enforcement officer, it's not going to end well. And we've warned them, and this guy and this group of people want to be martyrs, fine. But you know what? They messed up. They did that in the state of New Jersey. We just got a pretty, pretty hardline acting interim U.S. attorney up there in Alina Haba. And you know what? If those charges are pursued, she's going to make sure that they're going to be prosecuted. And no one should walk if you assault an officer. And again, that's one thing to protest. We're fine with that. But you don't disrupt operations. You don't disrupt the movement and transport of prisoners. And you certainly don't put your shoulder or hip check a federal agent when he's trying to keep you back. I'm glad that that was caught on camera. I'm glad that they were, you know, arrested. And you know what? In the words of Doc Holliday, I'm your Huckleberry. That's yeah. What's going to happen the next time, right?
Absolutely. So one thing that I haven't, and I just Googled this because, Chris, I've mentioned to the audience a few times, I was out of the country for a little bit, so I missed some of the stories. Before I left, though, we were talking about Hannah Dugan, this Milwaukee County Circuit judge who I guess now is due back in court this week for a preliminary hearing. The Supreme Court of Wisconsin has suspended her for now. It doesn't look like that narrative is going to work out for the Dems, but what did you think of that? A judge in this country shuffling out the back door, a migrant who's not supposed to be here legally and is a, you know, criminal anyway.
Well, it's part of the U.S. Code, 8 U.S.C. 1324, has to do with smuggling, but aiding and abetting illegal entry, and that's what she was doing. When you hide or conceal or harbor an illegal alien, or what she did was basically conceal and allow them to, and she interfered with their the federal actions, you know, that's a shame. I mean, that should be an immediate removal. And out of if she had any credibility, she'd say, look, I apologize and I'm stepping down, you know, because this is, look, you and I could never get away with that. And whether we are politically involved or not, you can't sit there and use this as an excuse because you want to fight the president's agenda on immigration. Well, look, his immigration agenda is actually lawful immigration and trying to figure out ways to bring people in the right way and to protect those that are truly being persecuted. They just brought in refugees today.
That's right.
But you cannot aid and abet and harbor criminals in the United States. You cannot aid and abet illegal aliens who all they did was break the law and remain here. But when you have gang members and those that are, you know, have fines and other issues going on, that's flat out ridiculous. And you know what? I'm glad that they're taking these actions. Maybe, just maybe, it'll open some eyes and bring some common sense and just meet at the table and talk. Talk to the ICE agent in charge in your area and figure out what they need to do to make sure they can uphold the rule of law. I mean, this is a judge that's supposed to rule on the constitutionality, whether it's at the federal level or the state level, and they're aiding and abetting an illegal alien. That's preposterous, and welcome to today's Democrat Party, I guess.
So what's the work that's still, I'm sure there's a lot, that needs to be done? You served as a special advisor to RFK Jr. at HHS, and you were focused on the Office of Refugee Resettlement. To your point, the president even announced today that there's refugees coming in from Africa because they're being killed, right? They have a reason to have asylum. But what needs to happen next, or what more needs to happen?
Well, I'll say that we always need to continue to codify what practices and policies we put in place through congressional action. So some of the mandates that we put in we did at ORR basically are aligning applicants and sponsors to our U.S. domestic policy when it comes to foster care. You know, you have to have proof of income. You have to have a verifiable ID. You have to make sure you're not a criminal or have any criminals in your household. So things like that could be codified in law. That's one thing when it comes to the kids. But it goes back to the first leg of that stool, and that's securing the border. President Trump has already begun wall construction. They're doing all the things that he started under his first term. We need to continue that. And while the numbers are down, while we have the majority in the House and Senate and the president right now in the White House, we need to shore up the border. We need to finish what we started. So this is not a conversation that gets kicked down the road every administration. And then we need to focus on the northern border. We know that we're having a better relationship with Canada when it comes to border security, but we need to make sure that we find those gaps and codify that through infrastructure and technology on that northern border as well. So we're not done yet. Let's take advantage of the lull in the action. Let's put the right money through this big reconciliation, this big, beautiful bill. Let's fund the agents and the agencies down there on the border, finish what we started, get this secure border once and for all, and then we can really address the lawful immigration process that needs to happen to make sure that we continue to be that beacon of hope for people around the world and for Americans who want to have businesses and want to thrive here if they can't find the workers here in the United States. We've got to be able to find an easier way to bring people in back in the seasonal manner or, you know, some one-offs as necessary. Yeah. But definitely want to do it here with Americans first. But we also have to recognize that there are opportunities abroad that we could work with. But we got to secure the border first. So that's what's underway now.
Chris Klem is back with us this afternoon. You know, what's interesting is I want to tell you two stories. One, Keir Starmer, the new prime minister of England, said some very interesting things on immigration and trying to control their immigration. And then 2 weeks ago, I'm in Athens, Greece, and I'm having lunch. And there's a young woman who notices that we have more Americans. We have, you know, speaking English. And she was from Canada. And she's a teacher in Canada. And she was telling me about, you know, really, really terrible teaching shortage. And one of the issues that she pointed toward was immigration in Canada. So it's not only the U.S. that has these issues, but of course, Canada doesn't want to really tackle them head on like we do in this country, at least with President Trump. I'm encouraged that Keir Starmer is saying some things that I never expected him to say over across the pond right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we need to look at when it comes down to being the beacon of hope of the United States of America, you know, as other countries look to us, I think that's what President Trump wants to do. He wants to show you that you can secure your border and you have the right to secure the border. We know that. And he's just making sure that the rest of the political parties get in line, secure our border. And then let's really clean up that lawful immigration system. I truly believe, and I don't have this, it's just kind of my opinion, that he would love to have if President Trump could get his way, I think what he wants is there should never be an illegal alien coming across from Mexico that, you know, that's looking for work. Like, we should have ability to. Now, if you're a criminal and you're a prior deport and you're an ag felon, yeah, they're going to escape and try to come in illegally. There's still going to be that need. But why don't we have something that works economically for both countries? Same thing with Canada. And really look at this from a North American perspective,
yeah,
that we have this back and forth. Again, nothing usurps or should take precedent over our security. But I think we're well underway on that. But I think at the end of the day, we should be able to walk back and forth with the right vetting and come to work and use the trade and travel and the work opportunities that both countries can give, or all three countries can give each other. I think that's where he wants to go. Problem is he just has a bunch of virtue signaling, gaslighting Democrats that want to oppose everything, to include some of the judicial appointees that are there. Now, you know, they call it a judicial coup, and it seems like it just plays out every week. Hopefully we'll get this fixed. But, man, we're only 110, 112 days into a 4-year term. So I just think it's just going to look better and better each month we move forward.
Well, selfishly, Chris, I'm glad to have you back here on 97.1 FM Talk, and I appreciate your insight this afternoon. It's always great, and I hope you're well.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. I look forward to the next time. And, you know, again, thank you for having me on, and hope all your listeners are doing well and look forward to the next time we have a conversation.
Absolutely. Chris Klemm, have a great week. We'll see you.
Too many tools, too much stress, and way too many bills.
Odoo replaces it all. One connected platform for every part of your business, so you can work faster, smarter, and for less. Odoo, the only software you'll ever need. Try it free today at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Almost forgot. My brain is still not working fully. For those of you who are listening, the international travel has whacked me up pretty good. And, you know, just being honest with people here, just because I talked about this on Friday a little bit, and I've been very open about the anxiety that I suffered. This goes back maybe 13, 14 years ago, and I've been in a great shape mentally for a long time. But, man, I came back from this trip, and I just feel a little disoriented. And then it got better on Saturday, and then it got worse yesterday, and today I'm kind of hanging in there. But I like to share information like this because I've heard from people, even friends of mine who heard me talking about this, and this is not just something that's unique to me. It is something like, even if you Google it and you are someone who deals with some of that and maybe you're on medication, the time clock can really throw you off. And unfortunately, that's been my situation. And what happens is my brain is not working 100%. And some of you would argue it doesn't happen that way anyway. But I do want to focus on what happened. We talked about this at the beginning of the show in Holly Hills last night, and it was just outrageous. I opened my morning. This did not help my anxiety. Because I'm getting sent these videos from the neighborhood that I used to live in. Sue lives just a few blocks away. And essentially, you had a group of thugs that were doing, you know, burnouts in the middle of this big intersection at Leona and Holly Hills. And to make it worse, no police showed up. And to make it even worse than that, the race card was pulled by African Americans who were shouting at white people that were coming out of their homes, simply trying to find out what the hell was happening to their neighborhood. Now, State Rep Steve Butts, who's a regular on the roundtable, he's running for state senate, by the way, is with us this afternoon. This is your neighborhood. This basically happened right in front of your house, Steve, didn't it?
Yeah. Hi, Mark. Hi, Sue. So it's no secret, right? I have lived on Holly Hills on and off really since I've been a little kid. This is about two blocks, I'd say, down from our house. So this intersection at Holly Hills and Leona, it does, unfortunately, it lays perfect for this kind of nonsense, high-risk skidding or whatever they call it. I call it just doing donuts.
Right.
But, you know, and we do have that from time to time. Sue will tell you, you get in Carondelet Park, but it's two or three knuckleheads in just their cars. What was different about this is like an organized sporting event almost with, I'm going to guess, you know, 100 or more spectators, 50-ish cars blocking the intersection, then with their headlights going into the center so they can videotape, you know, the knuckleheads doing their donuts. Fortunately, no one was hurt. I mean, you know, anybody loses control of their car, it's going to be out of control. And there were no shots fired. So I guess the best I could tell from my neighbors and saw it, only one gun was displayed, which is ridiculous. The level of community engagement last night, I would say from 8:50 till about 11 was intense, and then I did several media interviews right at the intersection. I did go down to the police department to the press conference at 12:30. Last night I did send at least the best video I had from one of my neighbors to both the chief and the mayor. I heard back from both of them late last night even. So, I mean, some action was being taken, but I know the bottom line. My hunch is, and I could not really get an answer, I wasn't really asking Mitch McCoy questions, but I think people would like to know how many real officers, you know, blue shirt officers that can respond, were on duty in the first district last night. That's a concern. He just doesn't answer that question, and I think it's going to be a shockingly low number. That's one issue. The other one is a supervisor with the mobile reserve unit that does fight this kind of stuff did respond in an unmarked car at about 9:15. So I tried to confirm this timeline with anybody and everybody, and I think Sue would kind of say it went on a good 20 to 25 minutes,
yeah.
But it was over. Not the crowd hadn't dispersed, but the stunt driving was over by about that 9:13, 9:15. Then the supervisor note, he got this group at the Burlington Coat Factory, which is the old Venture parking lot for those of us who've lived there a long time, and they were able to at least spike some of these vehicles, 15 or 20 of them right there. They went from our neighborhood, Sue, right down to that Burlington Coat Factory parking lot, so that's probably right around 9:30. And I just felt like, this is not to ramble too much here, but I'm like, okay, you spiked citywide 50 cars last night. How many cars did you impound or confiscate or address, you know, or arrest the drivers? The answer to that was one juvenile crashed his car and ran, and then his mom brought him back and he turned himself into the cops later last night. I'm like, so you disabled, quote unquote, 50 vehicles. And the only one we got was some
that crashed his car.
I am just like, so these spikes, I mean, yeah, I'm glad you're popping their tires, but we got to shred their tires, because the way I understand it, the spike, it's like getting a nail in your tire, a big nail, but you can still go up to 10 miles at a high rate of speed with that in your tire.
Yeah, that's not going to prevent this from happening again. You've got to shut this stuff down. The fact that they came there shows, don't you agree, Steve, that they know that nothing will happen so they can plan it and get away with it and be safe.
Yeah, it was. There's no doubt. It was planned. There's no way. Like I said, we'll always get guys doing donuts, but they don't have a crowd of 100 people cheering them on. Right. I mean, this...
Well, okay, well, let's talk about it, because they're saying the police. Yeah. They're harassing some of the white neighbors in racial fashions. Let's face it, I said this before, if the reverse were true, there would be people arrested for hate crimes at this point. That was even, as a side note, atrocious. It was bad enough what happened in the intersection, but then up and down the street, you have neighbors that are coming out trying to figure out what the hell's going on, calling the police, and they're being harassed by people.
Yeah, one of them on the one video that I sent you, Marcus, one of my real, real good friends, and he's like, yeah, they're just giving us some attitude, and I just backed off, and, you know, it didn't, thankfully, it did not escalate. You're right. That did happen, but it did not escalate. So I truly am thankful for that, because you could have seen that this could have become
worse.
With multiple people shot and cars crashing and just crazy stuff. But to Sue's point, I just think we've got to have more hope that the police are going to be able to crack down on this using technology and just numbers. There needs, because one or two cops showing up last night would not have solved.
Yeah,
it wouldn't have even helped.
No,
it might have hurt, actually.
You're right, Steve, because they come in such numbers, and they do it on purpose so that you will be outnumbered, that they can block the streets, that they can walk around smoking whatever it is they're smoking around the neighbors and doing all this, and traffic can't get through. And it's a numbers game, and they know they can get away with it because there's not enough cops to come down on them.
Yep, it's true. At least they did, you know, because they regathered, right? It's not just at Holly Hills and Leona last night. It was at three locations that I know of. And at least they were able to interdict a little bit. But I think the media, Mark, and I'm going to keep pressing this too, I think people need to know. So how many officers did you really have? Mm-hmm. And Mitch McCoy's like, well, we just don't like to tell our personnel numbers because it helps the other guys plan what they want to do. And I'm like, no, I think they're planning away.
Let's figure. Mitch McCoy is the flack for the police department, right? He is not the chief. And you said that you sent a message to the chief. Why the hell has the chief himself and the new mayor herself not addressed this issue today? I'm very disappointed in that.
Yeah, you know, here's my hunch. I mean, it was a big story because it happened in Holly Hills. And people should have
outraged if this happened in any neighborhood. I think the fact that there was no property damage to speak of, except if you look at the street right now.
Right.
That's definitely vandalized. But there was no real injuries, no property damage, which is, to me, a miracle that no cars were hit, and no shots fired. I think that kind of tempers the story a bit.
Maybe.
Now, maybe that's just good luck, but I do think that's the reason why. Also last night, Mark, I mean, and to me, every one of these is serious, right? There was another murder last night.
Yeah.
You know, some woman was shot multiple times. So I'm like, you know, there's that too. So,
well, there is that, but there's also this, you know, I didn't talk about this on Friday and I had missed this story, but there was a story, and I don't know if it was covered in our local paper. They're not even covering this one. I think it was KSDK, about car break-ins right down at the stadium. And sometimes people treat that as, oh, you know what? We live in a city. That's going to happen. Multiple cars right by the ballpark. They don't have enough cops patrolling that. We've made it clear very often this afternoon. Now, I'm not blaming the guys on the beat because they're trying to do their job. They want to do their job, but they're not able to do their job.
They're understaffed.
Right?
Yeah, part of that, and I mean, it's just one of the reasons, Mark, and I know it was a controversial vote, and I'm, you know, it's a bitter pill for me as a city resident to swallow that we've got to go back to a Board of Police Commissioners appointed by the governor but approved by the Senate. It was a bitter pill for me to swallow, but I'm like, we just have to do it. It's not working what we're doing now. So, I hope it's one step. It's not the step, but it is one step in the right direction. Increasing pay, and that's on the Board of Aldermen. I had a good discussion with the alderwoman from the First Ward, Ann Schweitzer, this morning, and said, well, we've raised pay. And I said, it's not enough.
No.
It's not enough. I'm just like, and I don't want to throw anybody's salary under the bus, but I'm like, y'all picked $75,000 as the starting wage for the alderman. Well,
yeah.
I, you know, connect the dots.
Exactly.
That means the starting pay for a cop has to be worth more than $75,000.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Simple math.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Well, that's a great point. Well, keep on them. I appreciate you chiming in here this afternoon. Before I let you go, anything you want to highlight? Because you're in the last week of this legislative session, right?
Yeah, we are. That's why it's noisy here. I'm out in the rotunda. So, you know, we approved most of the budget by last Friday. It wasn't too contentious. And right now things are pretty peaceful. So we're going to see if this comes in landing. I really, really hope there's a bill that Steve Roberts has been carrying that's super important for downtown St. Louis. It's the state kicking in $50 million in tax credits on that AT&T and Millennium Hotel rehab. And it is a piece of the puzzle, and the state can play a piece. So I hope that doesn't get jammed up with other stuff.
I'm not as big a fan as that as you might be. We can talk about it on the roundtable sometime. But thank you, Steve.
I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, take care.
Guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Steve.
I'll just leave that there because I have my thoughts on that. But you know who was awesome on this? And I kind of joked earlier, as you remember, Jane was here in the monologue, and, man, she was on fire.
On
this. And she will be featured in Audio Cut of the Day. And the joke that I said is, that, look, usually I'm trying to get her not to talk so much, but you know, she represents the cops.
Yep.
I think she had the same reaction that certainly I had. I mean, we don't live in this area like you. I used to, but I was so pissed off about this morning.
Yeah.
Just watching what happened, watching how people were being treated, knowing that if that treatment were hurled in the other direction, we'd have, you know, race riots right now in St. Louis. But now, you know, it's just a bunch of white people that live in Holly Hills. Not a big deal. Don't worry about this. Very disappointed Kara Spencer hasn't said anything about this today. Old mayor, same as the new mayor? I hope not.
Spreadsheets, clunky software, 100 different logins just to run your business? Ah.
There's a better way. Odoo. One simple, connected platform that handles sales, inventory, accounting, and more. So you can focus on growing, not juggling. Make the switch today at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Audio cut of the day coming up here. I have a twofold audio cut of the day. I mentioned Jane, and she joined us at the beginning of the show on this Holly Hills issue, and she was really on fire, and I have to use that as a sample. But the other story has to do with Qatar, or do you say Qatar or something like that, right?
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Oh, look, I said earlier, I honestly do not know exactly how I feel about the acceptance by the Trump administration and the president to have a luxury jet from the Qatari royal family that's worth apparently $400 million be donated. They're going to use it as Air Force One. And then the story has it, Sue, it's going to go to the Trump library. So he won't use this as a plane. But what's interesting, the dynamic is fascinating right now. You have a lot of people on the left that also are, you know, they hate Trump. They're not going to give him credit for anything. I'm going to play you his explanation. They think that there's undue influence at play here. Look, I'm not going to say that this is not somewhat troubling to me because I need to know more. I also don't know what the stories are saying that are factual because we don't know what we're getting. But you also have people out there like Laura Loomer. You know who she is?
No.
She's a nutbag on the far right. And she is not happy about this because she said Qatar is not our friend, which is kind of true. So there are things that are happening right now with this particular deal. It was ABC News that reported this last night. And as soon as I saw Jonathan Carl's, you know, name attached to this, I thought, oh, well, can I even believe this? And that kind of came up today with Donald Trump at the news conference.
Mr. President, what do you say to people who view that luxury jet as a personal gift to you? Why not leave it behind?
You're ABC fake news, right?
Why not?
It's only ABC. Well, a few of you would. Let me tell you, you should be embarrassed asking that question. They're giving us a free jet. I could say, no, 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 don't give us. I want to pay you $1 billion or $400 million or whatever it is. Or I could say, thank you very much. You know, there was an old golfer named Sam Snead. Did you ever hear him? He won 82 tournaments. He was a great golfer. And he had a motto. When they give you a putt, you say, thank you very much. You pick up your ball and you walk to the next hole. A lot of people are stupid. They say, no, no, I insist on putting it. Then they putt it and they miss it. And their partner gets angry at them. You know what? Remember that. Sam Snead. When they give you a putt, you pick it up and you walk to the next hole and you say, thank you very much.
Okay, love the analogy, but I still have some issues with this deal. There are ethical issues at play here. And what I said earlier is I like to try to apply the same standard. If this was something that the Biden administration is doing, if I knew all the information, and I'm not sure I have all the information, would I be critical? I might be. But here's something more to that. Nobody's doing a story about Boeing here because they should have been building this a long time ago, and they're not because they're so far behind and they've had cost overruns. So there's a couple of different issues at play here. No one's going to go investigate the Boeing, right? They're just going to go to Trump and say, bad orange man, he shouldn't do this. But I do find it interesting that people from the hard right and the hard left are criticizing this deal. Laura Loomer, I think she's a loon. Don't get me wrong. I'm very clear on that. But she has influence. So maybe she gets to Trump. Maybe the you know, the message is different here later in this week. We'll see. We mentioned Jane Duker. She represents the cops as an attorney. She's a regular, of course, on my roundtable. Jane and I have known each other for a long time. She was on very fired up earlier about the Holly Hill situation, and I have to use this as part of my audio cut of the day. This won't even do it justice. You got to go back and listen to the opening segment in the 3 o'clock hour.
There is a major incident. That's what happens. That's not unforeseen. And that's what's really frustrating to me. So it exposes two things. One, 911 is not fixed. Quit lying
not
to people and telling them it is. Because when you have a mass event, you're going to have a lot of phone calls. And you need to be able to answer some of them, if not all. That's number one. Did the computer even answer? I'm very curious.
Yeah, the computer.
Because they count that as an answer.
Yeah, the computer answers, and the computer says, don't hang up.
Hold on.
We'll go ahead at the first operator
continue
available.
Continue to watch the situation. Yeah. So, I mean, so 911 is not fixed, and we are still doing crisis. And did Mitch McCoy tell the press today how many cops were actually on patrol last night?
I don't think so. Nope.
No, because they keep that under lock and key.
Yeah.
They don't tell you, oh, we have a specialized unit. Well, that's a problem because specialized units, I mean, really, we need boots on the ground.
Hey, I was thinking about this. That might have been historic. Sue Thomas was actually part of Audio Cut of the Day.
Hey, wow.
How about that? We'll talk tomorrow at 3.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Another app for inventory, one for CRM. Oh, don't forget accounting. Wait, which login was that?
Or you could use Odoo, one fully integrated system that does it all without the hassle.
Ditch the app overload. Get everything your business needs on one platform. Try Odoo free today at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.